Greetings once again, my white brothers and sisters of the world. Welcome to another episode of In Class and We Trust, the White Power Hour with Reverend Matt Hale. I am very pleased to be with you once again as we together fight for a better world for our children, as we together fight to defend our people from the vicious attacks upon them by its racial, biological enemies. We are here to defend our people's interests in all things and at all times. We are here to promote the concept, the notion, that white people deserve a future. Now, our foes may want to call that radical. They might want to call it extremist. They might want to call it fanatic for white people to care about white people for a change. But we don't consider it that. We don't consider it anything but being normal, being natural, being truthful. That yes, white people matter in this world. Yes, white people deserve a future. Yes, white people should look out for their own interests and not perpetually and permanently have the non-white races on their backs. That white people should not subsidize, for example, the state of Israel or the state of Egypt or India or Afghanistan or Pakistan or what have you, but that white people should look out for their own. We know, of course, that we are outnumbered. We know that white racial loyalist people are outnumbered as far as their thoughts are concerned, that many white people, probably the vast majority of white people, are oblivious to the situation that the white race is in today. We know that vast amounts of white people believe that whatever the Jew tube tells them is the truth, that vast amount of white people think that niggers are their equals and that Jews are God's chosen people and that latrinos somehow contribute to this country's well-being, etc. We know, of course, that those white people, many of them hate us for loving them. While at first glance that may seem more unbearable than we could ever stand, we do stand it. We do endure it. For we know that truth is on our side. We know that right is on our side. We know that justice is on our side. And that there does not exist one person, one white man, woman, or child that opposes our cause today, that opposes it for independent reasons, for reasons based upon their own judgment. Instead, they may oppose us because they've been taught to oppose us, or because it's financially lucrative to oppose us, or because they are determined to maintain power and are concerned that we might overturn that power, overthrow that power. That gives us great cause for optimism, my brothers and sisters. That gives us cause to believe and know that we can turn these tables on our foes, that we can reverse the situation in which our white people are ceasing to exist by the moment, that we can win the hearts and minds of white people across this world. And once we have done that, the battle is won. Once we have won the hearts and minds of white people, the non-white races will be no challenge. We will quickly deport this riffraff from our shores. We will quickly drive the mud races from our territories and in the process ensure and assure the continued existence of the white race upon the face of this planet. We have the right to defend ourselves. We have the right to make sure that white people continue to exist. No power, great or small, can deny us that right. No power can look us in the eye and say that we have to be slaves, that we have to abandon our cultural and genetic and biological existence. And if anyone were to look us in the eye and say such, we would refuse to submit. We refuse to go along with the party line that says that all men are equal, when we know, of course, that they are not. We refuse to accept the notion that the Jews are God's chosen people, when we know that the Jews are parasites in this world and have been hated throughout the centuries for good reason. We refuse to accept the notion that invaders of America can somehow become good citizens as in the case of the latrinos, the mud hordes from south of the Rio Grande. We refuse to accept the notion that integration has been good for white people when we know, many of us through personal first-hand observation, know that it has not. And so we have a situation today in which the media, which is controlled by the Jews, seeks to propagandize and turn white people against us. We have a situation in which the media hopes to make white people their own worst enemies. They are largely succeeding. However, there is that ray of light out there. There is that light in the tunnel that is creativity, that is the World Church of the Creator. And do not think for one moment, not one moment, that you cannot make a difference in this cause, in this effort. You can make an incredible difference, each and every one of you, if you apply yourselves. Sometimes people ask me, they ask me, how am I able to accomplish as much as I have accomplished? I don't really look at myself as having accomplished all that much. I'm 30 years old. I hope to live for another who knows how long. But each and every one of you can accomplish as much or if not more that I have accomplished in this world. Each and every one of you can go out and preach to the people. Each and every one of you can have public meetings in which you lift your voice and lift your heart and teach the people the truth. Each and every one of you can write letters to the editor, and sometimes those letters do get printed. And if you have some that don't get printed, then so what? Go back to the drawing board and write another one. Each and every one of you can spread this information, our information, about our great cause on the internet. You can post in chat rooms, you can post on the bulletin board, you can go to your colleges, for example, and pass out literature, you can pass out literature in the streets. You can utilize so many means to liberate the thinking of our people that I could never possibly utter all the means on one radio program. Undoubtedly, there are more than I even know of, more means that I don't know of, in which you can spread the truth to our people. We are living in a very troubled time. We are living in a time in which those who perhaps are weak will fall and falter, while those who are strong will continue the march. The World Church of the Creator is continuing the march on a daily basis, but can always do more. If you have not talked to someone today about creativity, you have not done your job, my brother or sister. If you have not implanted that seed of white resurrection in someone today, you have not done your job. Do your job. Spread this religion like wildfire. As our founder Ben Clausen said, to whom this program is dedicated, he said that if sick and morbid religions like Christianity, etc., could become powerful, could become believed in by millions and millions, if not billions of people, then certainly, certainly, we can win the hearts and minds of white people to a real religion, to a factual religion such as creativity. In other words, if somebody is willing to believe in a ridiculous story that says that God sent His Son to die on a cross and to die for our sins, etc., then certainly, certainly we can get white people to believe that their race is in danger, that their biological existence is being threatened by the inferior mud races. After all, we all know what niggers are. We have all seen them. We have all seen what they do to neighborhoods. We have seen how they have polluted this country. We have seen how their so-called culture has mongrelized our culture, has destroyed essentially our culture in this society. We have seen how they destroy the public schools. We have seen how they destroy the neighborhoods. So we have this evidence, this overwhelming evidence of the negative influence of the nigger race. And by goodness, we can persuade our people that we need to confront this negative influence. It's the same thing with the Jews. We have the overwhelming evidence that the Jews have been prosecuted, not persecuted in this world, but prosecuted for their crimes against humanity. We see right now, for example, the Israelis have declared war on terrorism, and yet their own country was founded by terrorism. Their own Prime Minister, Ariel Sharon, the butcher of Beirut, is a terrorist. And people can be educated about this. They can be educated about the fact that the Jews are simply trying to control the world. It is not a fantastic idea. It is not fantastic, if you think about it. Countries throughout the ages have sought to control vast stretches of land. You had the Mongols that controlled practically all of Asia and drove into Europe and controlled much of Europe, or at least part of Europe, until they were thrown out. The Huns controlled a great stretch of land, another non-white tribe. The Moors conquered much, another non-white tribe. Certainly the British Empire controlled much of the world, a white tribe for a change. The French controlled much of the world. Well, the Jews are trying to control the world too. They're trying to control the world in a different way. The Jews are not interested in controlling the world through direct military attacks. They are interested instead in controlling the nations of the world's economies, their political systems, and their media. If they can control the economy, control the media, and control the government, they control the people. And so they have that form of control right now. Vast stretches of this world are under their control. It is not that difficult to teach people these things. They can be taught. They can learn. We must castigate this notion that somehow our people cannot be woken up. They can be wakened up. They can be awoken to the truth. Many of us, myself included, at one time believed, yes, all men are created equal. I at one time thought that the Jews were simply a strange religion. I had no notion, no comprehension of what a Jew even was until I was educated, until I educated myself, thankfully, in my particular case, at the age of 11 and 12. And there are individuals who may be 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. I've had people tell me, for example, individuals who fought in the Second World War who have told me that they fought on the wrong side after they have been educated. They realize now that they wish they could have fought with Adolf Hitler against communism rather than with communism against the world. And that's what World War II turned out to be. I've had individuals tell me that, yes, the first 50 years of their life, they were in a complete trance. And that once they found creativity, they realized what the truth really was. Our people can be taught. They can be informed. And do not ever forego the opportunity to inform your people and mine about the truth. We can only win that way. We can't win by simply grumbling to ourselves, simply talking to ourselves. Talking to ourselves is good. It's good to talk to our white racial comrades, those who believe in our cause right now. Of course, we have to have camaraderie. And in fact, we need to have more of it. The internet is a nice tool, in fact, but has become a substitute for personal communication, for personal contact. That must change. We can't win this by simply being in front of a computer screen talking to people that we never talk to in person. We have to also have a cadre, have a group of people that we personally communicate to and with. But more than that even, we need to preach the true gospel of creativity to people everywhere who do not currently believe. Every white man, woman, and child must be looked at as a challenge. As a challenge to win, to conquer. We can conquer their hearts and conquer their minds. We must do so. Now, once again, I know, and I've said this many times on this program, I know that our foes have incredible power. I know that they will smear us. They have smeared me personally, as you well know, many, many times. I've gotten so used to it that I've really forgotten what life is like without being smeared by the Jew press. I consider it a great honor to be attacked by my enemies. I don't accept this notion, in other words, that a good man is the man that just travels through life without enemies. Every true good man has enemies. Every true good man has those who would like to break him. Why? Because the good man is the person who is fighting for what he believes in. The good man is the man who struggles for what is right, for what is just. Now, we full well know that there is a difference of opinion as to what is just in this world. We know, of course, that the prevailing powers, those ruling powers today in the media and the government and the economy, like to tell our people that what is good is that whatever or that which puts money in their pocketbooks and that which benefits, quote, America, unquote. Well, we white racial loyalists know that America is only as good as the inhabitants of America, and America is full of trashy inhabitants right now. The mud races are a cancer in this society, and we cannot accept the notion that America is the greatest country on earth as long as America is completely surrounded and engulfed by inferiority. As I like to think of it too, when I see the quadroon, I suppose, Colin Powell on television, I cannot salute an America or stand strongly for an America that includes such racial degenerates. I cannot embrace the current situation in America with him in it. I cannot respect and honor the government of the United States with mongrels, Jews, and white traitors composing it, and nor should you. And nor do you, I'm sure, if you are listening to this program, unless you are a new listener. Of course, if you are a new listener, this is a controversial aspect. This is controversy, no question about that, but controversy is good. Somewhere along the line, we have been taught, or programmed is the better word, to think that controversy is automatically bad, or that if you have a differing viewpoint from the government of the United States, somehow you are to be suspected of a problem. Well, of course, the government wants you to believe that. The government implicitly, through its actions, has created the atmosphere in which people are afraid to express opinions hostile to it. And right now, of course, while we are involved in this latest no-win war that the United States government has pushed and gotten America into, certainly the government wants as little dissent as possible. However, the truth is the truth. And when it comes to, for example, what happened on September 11th, we have to recognize the fact that the apparently who partook in this attack upon New York and the Pentagon did not do so because they are jealous of our way of life. They did so because they hate the fact that the American taxpayer is paying billions and billions of dollars a year to support the enemies of their own people, their own kind, namely the Jews. Now, of course, you know as well as I do that the government is not interested in talking about this. They're not interested in saying, well, you know what, American people, we have to take responsibility for this because we have been using America as a human shield. They're not saying that for obvious reasons, because they would want to, you know, they would want to get out of town because the American people would be absolutely furious with them and would realize, of course, that the American government is to blame for what happened on September 11th. Now, if the American government had seen what happened, if George Bush and company had witnessed what happened on September 11th and then changed their foreign policy as a result, then we could say, well, hey, okay, at least the government finally got the message that it is backing the wrong side in the Arab-Israeli conflict and that we are subsidizing Israeli terrorism against the Arab people and that this has to change. That would be very nice to see. Instead, the government has done the complete opposite. The government has reiterated its support for Israel, more billions of dollars are being sent, and the Arab people are left with more animosity towards this country. There's no question, though, that one has to make a distinction between America and the American government. The American government is a Jewish government. Washington, D.C. is an extension of Tel Aviv. There are three capitals, in a sense, of the Jews. You have Tel Aviv, Washington, D.C., and New York City. The World Trade Center was hit because it is a symbol of Jewish economic power. That is undoubtedly why it was hit. It was not hit because of some kind of attack upon American values. It had nothing to do with it. The fact of the matter is that it was a key target from the terrorist point of view. Now, let's even talk about the word terrorist. Let's face the fact that terrorism is in the eye of the beholder. And there's a very evident example of this in what's going on right now between the Israelis and the Palestinians. The Israelis have announced today, as a matter of fact, through their leader, Ariel Sharon, that the Palestinians are terrorists and that they feel, in fact, they are determined to wage war against what they call terrorism. Well, of course, if you look at it from the Palestinian viewpoint, Ariel Sharon himself is a terrorist. After all, he's not known as the butcher of Beirut for nothing. And if this individual has power, essentially because of the lives that he has caused to be lost in the Palestinian community. And so you have this perpetuation of the labels, and of course the Jew media in this country, which of course the media is Jewish to the core in this country, is promoting the notion that all the other countries of the Middle East, or at least many of the countries in the Middle East, harbor terrorists. But have you noticed that Israel's name is conspicuously not mentioned? Israel has never, it's never been mentioned as a terrorist country, and yet they have over and over again throughout the ages, throughout their existence, I should say, promoted terrorism. Their whole religion itself is a terroristic religion. If you want to read about terrorism, in fact, the best place to go is to read the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, they talk over and over again about how they are killing this people here, they're attacking this people there, they're raping this people here, they're enslaving people there, burning this people, this group at the stake here, what have you. They are killing, maiming, looting everywhere in the Old Testament. If you don't believe me, read Deuteronomy, for example. Read Exodus. Read Leviticus. These are books in their phony Old Testament. The reason why I call it phony is because most of the history, luckily enough for Israel's neighbors, is fallacious. Most of what is in the Old Testament is complete myth and has no semblance to reality. Now, once again, this may seem radical. This may seem an amazing proposition. Well, to be radical is not to be false, necessarily. You can be radical and be absolutely truthful. Now, I'm sure that Copernicus was called a radical. I'm sure that Galileo was called a radical for daring to say what he said. But these men were truthful. And we have to avoid the notion that somehow being a radical is being beyond the pale or being wrong. In fact, I like to say that moderation is really wrong. The idea of being a moderate simply means that you lack the courage and the guts to say what you really are. Instead, you call yourself a moderate. That, well, okay, I believe in moderate policies. What does that mean? It simply means that you're silly. You're just a clown. No, we shouldn't be moderate. We should be what we are. And if we're radical, so be it. If we're extremists, so be it. Certainly, the truth is an extreme proposition when it's surrounded by a sea of lies. Certainly, what we say, when we say that the white race means everything in this world, yeah, if people want to call us an extremist, and so be it. Well, we think that they are extreme for falsehood. Anybody who believes, for example, that the races are equal has been befuddled. Anyone who believes that they should allow their daughter to, I hate to put it this way, but they should allow their daughter to spread her legs for a nigger savage, that is sick. That is radical in a very sick way. It is disgusting, and it should not be tolerated. There should be laws against interracial marriage on pain of death. That is the way to deal with that type of problem. But of course, we have the situation, as you well know, in which every form of filth is paraded as, quote, normal, unquote. And if you are natural, virilic, instinctive, as a person, somehow you are now abnormal or hateful. Well, hate is okay. There's nothing wrong with hate. Hate is an emotion. It is a tool that you have, that each and every one of us have, for the benefit of our own, for that which we love. If you love something, you must be willing to hate that which threatens it. It's very simple. Who loves, for example, or let me put it this way, who doesn't hate a child molester? I don't know of anybody. Just the thought of somebody taking a five-year-old child and raping that child, that person should be hanged. That person is scum, is complete excrement. And the notion that, well, you shouldn't hate the child molester, just hate the fact that he committed child molestation, is poppycock. It's nonsense. And I don't know of many people who would argue with me about that. The notion that we should love cockroaches. Well, I don't know of anybody who's ever come to me and said, well, you know what, I have a cockroach in my apartment, but I believe in love, and I believe that being has a right to live, and God made that being, and so therefore that being is entitled to a nook and cranny in my apartment. I don't know of anybody who would say such a silly thing. Well, why is it that somehow when it comes to the races, we're supposed to abandon the same principles that we have applied and do apply towards other creatures, towards other species? Now, I know what the liberal might say, or what have you, and I use that word for lack of a better word, the individual who hates or opposes the white racial loyalist cause, that individual might say, well, but we're human beings. Well, first of all, the idea that we are human beings is a value judgment. People want to say that there's one race, the human race, because that's what they want to believe in. But biologically, it's not a fact. It's not supported by the evidence. That there are distinct differences between the so-called human races. Meaningful differences. Just as meaningful as the differences between dogs, between cats, between horses, between bears, what have you. Nobody, for example, would say, well, all panda and grizzly bears are equal to one another. I don't know of anyone who would be that silly. No one would say, well, okay, here's a poodle and here's a greyhound. Let's put them on a racetrack, and I'm sure that it's going to be an equal contest. No, they're not equal. Dogs are not equal to one another. Bears are not equal to one another, and nor are humans equal to one another, if you want to use the word human at all. What really has to be determined is whether the particular species, the particular creature involved, is an enemy or not. Cockroaches, well, they're unclean. We don't really want them in our apartments, in our homes, what have you. Everybody hates cockroaches. You have rats. People hate rats. But an ant, well, who cares? If an ant is outside in the grass, nobody considers that an enemy. Okay, but the niggers, the Jews, the Hispanics, the Latinos, as I like to call them most often, the non-white races as a whole are enemies of ours. And so it doesn't matter what their feelings are. It doesn't matter what their perspective is. It doesn't matter what they do unless it affects us. They are enemies, and we have to decrease the threat that these enemies pose. We have to neutralize that threat by ending our subsidy of these other races, by allowing them to wither on the vine and shrink their population accordingly. We'll be right back. We are back with in Klassen. We trust the White Power Hour with Reverend Matt Hale. As you could probably hear, I was switching tapes, made a little bit of a ruckus here. We are producing this on audio cassette as well for those who are not on the internet. Certainly, we encourage everyone to obtain a copy of this audio cassette. Send $6 to P.O. Box 2002, East Peoria, Illinois, 61611. We have all of our shows on audio cassette as well as CD. You can get the CD version for $10, and we will rush this right out to you. We hope, of course, that you will support this program. We need your support. Certainly it costs money to produce this program. Certainly it costs a lot of money to have the internet site that we have, the incredibly sophisticated internet websites that we possess. We are reaching a lot of people through these means. But of course, if we wish to have the financial ability to mount more serious threats to this system, then we need your financial support. It's very simple. We know, of course, that we can never really compete with the Jews' money. They have more money than you could shake a stick at. But we can have the means financially to reach more and more people. We can reach millions of people if we choose to. If we receive the money, if we receive the funding from white people who agree with us. There are millions of white people in this country who do agree, essentially, with our message. We are not only thousands of people in numbers. There are millions who agree with our message but do not realize or do not know how to support this cause. They do not realize that we are out there and that we need their support and that they should support us. So encourage your friends, your family, those on the internet to support the World Church of the Creator in its great endeavor. And in the process, we will go forward at an ever-increasing speed. Now, getting back to enemies, getting back to the idea of enemies. Every species has its own natural enemy. Some have more than one. Many have more than one. Rabbits have several enemies. Wolves, coyotes, what have you. Certainly, various insects have multiple enemies. Certainly one can say that the spider is the natural enemy of the fly. Certainly one can say that birds are natural enemies of mosquitoes, or what have you. They are natural enemies. Sometimes these creatures fight one another for food. Sometimes they consider each other food, but not always. There are many species that simply look at others as rivals for territory, rivals for resources. Certainly you can look at the red ants and black ants. I'm not using, obviously, the scientific names, but you know what I mean. You have the red ants and you have black ants, and they fight one another. I've seen, for example, programs in which it is depicted, in which the red ants have mass wars, race wars, I guess you could say, with the black ants. Black ants versus the red ants. They do so, and in fact, one thing that I found interesting about that is that the red ants, or the black ants, I should say, will actually enslave some of the red ants. They will take them back to their ant hole and will put them to work, and they will work until they drop. So even ants, even the lowly ant, has a system of social structure and realizes its enemies. Who are its enemies? Unfortunately, white people have gotten their heads so much in the clouds that they have forgotten what is necessary on this planet Earth. And what is necessary is to be vigilant and to realize that what is good for your people is the highest good, and what is bad for your people is the ultimate sin. Long before there is ever a country, there are white people. Long before there is ever a social class, there are white people. Long before there is ever a media, there are white people. Long before there is any institution of any kind, there are white people. And we have to recognize that our main meaning in life, our main purpose of life, is to ensure that our people continue to exist. Ultimately, whatever means are necessary to preserve our people are justified. There's no getting around that. There is no debate about that. If someone says, for example, to you and I, well, you know, it's never justified to to engage in race war or violence against the other race as well. Certainly throughout history, races have engaged in violence against one another. Certainly the Israelis right now are engaging in violence against the Palestinians. Back in the 8th century, when the Moors, the non-white Moors, invaded Europe, white people were justified in inflicting violence upon them, just as the Moors thought they were justified in inflicting violence upon white people. So, yes, it is justified. It is justified to engage in violence against the other races, though we don't advocate that. There is a distinction between justification and advocacy, for example. One can say that it is justified to kill a child molester. Any mother of a child who has been molested by a child molester is justified in killing that individual. But we don't advocate that they do so. So make no mistake about what I am saying. I am saying that as a matter of philosophy, as a matter of religion, yes, it is always just to resist the enemies of your people. Do not allow or do not tolerate anyone telling you to the contrary. Without a fight, without an argument. I'm not talking about a fist fight, I'm talking about an argument. We have to win the hearts and minds of our people. We can only do so through persuasion, through talking to people in the streets, through passing out literature, through the internet, through public meetings. And that's one thing that we need to see a lot more of right there, public meetings. Those of you who are ministers in the church listening to me right now, I need to see you having some public meetings. There's no reason why you can't. There's no reason why you haven't. I've given 20 public meetings now myself the past 20 months, and if I can do it, you can do it. Or at least, if I can do it, you can do half of it. I don't accept, and I will not accept this notion that somehow I'm just so special that I can do it all and nobody else can follow me. I don't accept that. In fact, I like the idea instead that flattery is the best, or imitation is the best form of flattery. Flatter me. Show me that you appreciate what I do by doing what I do, and spread the word in the process. If we had every minister, or every creator for that matter, having public meetings on a regular basis, we would be driving the Jew media absolutely nuts, and we would be bringing in far more members into our beloved church than we currently have. So keep that in mind. Now at this time I'd like to go ahead and recite for new listeners as well as old, what we believe. What do we believe succinctly in? We believe in the eternal laws of nature as revealed through science, history, logic, and common sense. We believe that the highest law of nature is the survival of our species by all means and at all costs. We believe that our race is our religion. We believe that racial loyalty is the greatest of all honors, and racial treason is the worst of all crimes. We believe that what is good for the white race is the highest virtue, and what is bad for the white race is the ultimate sin. We believe that the white race is the finest and noblest creation of nature. We believe that creativity is the essence of the white racial soul. We believe that the white race is, and always has been, the originator and creator of all worthwhile culture and civilization. We believe that without the white race, any worthwhile culture and civilization are impossible. We believe that for the white race to survive, expand, and advance, we need first of all a revolution of values through religion. Therefore, we completely and categorically reject the Judeo-Christian, democratic, Marxist, liberal, feminist values of today and supplant them with new and basic values of which race is the foundation. We believe that Jew-spawned Christianity is the deadly mind poison which destroyed the glorious white Roman civilization and is currently destroying all of the white race. Therefore, Christianity must be exposed, defeated, and eliminated in order to save the white race. We believe that the one and only true and revolutionary white racial religion, creativity, is in every conceivable way far more logical, consistent, comprehensive, meaningful, and inspiring than all other religions, ideologies, and political parties combined. Therefore, we strive that it eventually replace all other religions, ideologies, and parties, barring none. We believe in the unity of our white racial religion with our white racial state. We believe in the total unification of the white race on the basis of one racial religion, creativity, and one racial language, Latin, in a worldwide white racial community. We believe that the one and only true and revolutionary white racial religion, creativity, has the potential of not only leading the white people to a worldwide victory, but also guiding them onward for the next million years towards a new white renaissance, a whiter and brighter world, and a glorious era of the white Superman. We believe that the white race, its biological and cultural heritage, is now under attack by our mortal racial enemies, Jews, niggers, and the mud races. We believe that due to the Jew-instigated demographic explosion of the mud races, we must, as a matter of life and death, not only start, but also win the worldwide white racial holy war within this generation. We believe that Rahoa, racial holy war, under the victorious flag of the one and only true and revolutionary white racial religion creativity, is the only road to the resurrection and redemption of the white race. To the fulfillment of these religious beliefs, we creators forever pledge our lives, our sacred honor, and our religious zeal. Rahoa, total white victory. That gives you a good idea as to what we believe in. Very simple, but at the same time, life is simple for the most part. You are for the white race or you are against the white race. There really isn't anything in between. You are for the continued existence of white people or you are against it or you don't care. And if you don't care, then you are against it because there is no place for the viewpoint that, well, we should just go ahead and allow our people to cease to exist. Now let me go ahead at this time and read the essence of a creator. Sometimes this comes up, oftentimes this comes up. What is a creator like? What does a member of the World Church of the Creator or adherent of the World Church of the Creator believe in? Or what's he like as an individual? The essence of a creator. 1. A creator puts loyalty towards his own race above every other loyalty. 2. A creator is responsible, productive, and constructive. 3. A creator places a high value on honor and self-respect and will defend his own honor, the honor of his race and of his family at all costs. 4. A creator recognizes both love and hate as the two most powerful driving forces in life, that both emotions are healthy and essential to life, and to possess only one and be deprived of the other is to be as crippled as a bird with only one wing. 5. A creator realizes that both love and hate, in order to be constructive, must be directed in the proper channels, and to do otherwise is destructive and suicidal. 6. A creator, therefore, makes a careful distinction between his loved ones and his enemies. He loves, aids, and abets those of his own race and his own kind, and hates his enemies, namely Jews, niggers, and the mud races. 7. A creator is eager, optimistic, aggressive, energetic, and self-sacrificing for the best interests of his people. 8. A creator strives to keep physically fit and keep his body in the best of health at all times. 9. A creator is inquisitive, adventurous, and has a cheerful zest for living. 10. A creator is tough, tenacious, resolute, persistent, persevering, indomitable, and indefatigable, as were the ancient Romans. 11. A creator is practical, down to earth, and concentrates on those goals and activities that are meaningful and worthwhile. 12. A creator is brave and courageous, and always a proud credit to his people. 13. A creator places a high value on attitude, strives continually to maintain a healthy, positive, and dynamic attitude towards life. 14. A creator is an achiever and a producer. 15. A creator is a problem solver. As our founder Ben Clausen said also, he said that once we have straightened out the white man's thinking, the battle is as good as won. This is so much the case, because all the policies, all the actions of white people today are based on their thinking. Thinking is the originator of all action. If you think a certain way, then you will go ahead and do things a certain way. If you think, for example, well, this is just an example that came off the top of my mind, but if you think, for example, that the world is flat, you might not make a long trip. You might be afraid of falling off the earth. If you think that the races are equal, you might go ahead and decide, well, I'll allow my daughter or my son to marry outside their race, because after all, we're all equal. Obviously, you can see why that is a dangerous concept. If you think, for example, that the Jews are God's chosen people, you will go ahead and subsidize the Jews, you will benefit the Jews, you will praise the Jews, and the Jews will be able to do no wrong. So these attitudes are a reflection of thought. These actions are a result of certain thoughts. What creativity believes in doing is revolutionizing the thought of the people, changing the thoughts of the people to become more aligned with the natural instincts that we are all born with. See, right now, white people are not utilizing their natural instincts. They don't have belief systems that are based on nature's laws. Instead, they have belief systems that are essentially given to them, implanted in them, by their enemies, the Jews. The Jewish race sought to create a religion that would deliberately topple the white man from his exalted position in this world, namely Christianity. When you have a religion that teaches that we're all God's children, that we're all created equal, that God loves all, that his children, black and white, are all precious in his sight, however that silly song goes. When you have that religion that has, at the very minimum, no matter what you think about Christianity, even if you believe in identity Christianity, what have you, you have to admit that Christianity has been used as an awesome tool in the arsenal of the enemies of white racial purity. The enemies of white racial survival. As we well know, if the white race is not pure, it doesn't survive. We don't accept this notion that somehow only the biological extirpation of the white race is the issue here, that somehow if we die physically, that, you know, that's the only thing that matters. No, if we become mongrelized, we're dead too, as a people. And we don't believe in mongrelization for a lot of reasons. Certainly, it's not good for our race to mongrelize with lesser races, with inferior races. And also, for its own sake, it's not good. We don't believe in perverting nature's laws. We don't believe that it is ever good to turn evolution on its head and devolve instead. And certainly, one look at the nigger race can tell you that these are more primitive creatures. These are not human beings in any meaningful sense. And if you look at the Jews, you can say the same thing, that these are a parasitical species, not human beings, once again, in any meaningful sense. These ideas need to be taught. The only reason why we have this situation today is because our foes, those who oppose, once again, I use the term our foes or our enemies a lot, but let me specify what that means. Those who oppose the white racial loyalist viewpoint or the white racial loyalist belief system gaining ascendancy in this world, those who oppose that have been teaching more than us. They have preached more than us. And because of that, they have more influence. They have more power. It wasn't simply a matter of financial power. certainly they have financial power, but it's largely white people who are giving it to them. In other words, you can't simply blame the Jews for everything in this world that is bad. You have to also put a lot of responsibility on white people for allowing the Jews to do what they've done. Don't just blame the Jews for the problems. You have to accept the fact that white people dropped the ball. White people have been gullible. White people have been selfish. And because of that, we have the situation that we find ourselves in today. Now, for those of you who are new listeners, this has been a difficult show for you in some ways. I'm sure of this. However, we can back up what we say with the facts, with observation. All you have to do is look at the world around you and you will realize that we are speaking the truth. That there are significant differences between the races. And you will recognize also that, once again, and I know I say this a lot, but if you can say that it's good to wave the American flag and be proud to be an American and be willing to defend America at the risk of your life, you can also say, and you must be willing to say, logically speaking, that it is worthwhile to wave the flag of the World Church of the Creator, the flag of the white racial loyalist resurrection, our flag, the flag of creativity, and be willing to defend the interests of your white people, even at the risk of your own life. Nobody has been able ever to articulate to me why, on the one hand, we should be willing to rush to fight in wars that the government throws us into, but on the other hand, we should not be willing to fight physically, if necessary, to defend our birthright, to defend our very existence as a race. There isn't any argument to what I'm saying. If you have an argument to it, then let me know, because I'd be very curious to hear it. I haven't heard of any, though. I've been trying. I've been offering this challenge for 11 years now, actually. I've never had any takers. Instead, people will simply call me names and cuss at me in the meetings that we have and write nasty emails and things of this nature. But don't let me maximize that or overstate that. 90% of the emails we receive are positive emails. 90% of the letters, more than 90% of the letters, I'd say 99% of the letters, are positive letters. The people who call our hotline message are almost always positive callers. And this, of course, is quite good. We are reaching the people, and the people are listening, many of them, but we can do far more. That's always the message I have to impart. The message always has to be one of we can do better. We can always do better. Our white racial loyalist people can always do more to fulfill their duty. Actually, just on a personal note, I would love to have somebody in the church leave me in the dust. I'd love to see a situation in which some creator out there was giving more speeches than me and consulting with me and getting permission from me to give interviews to the press and becoming a minister, etc., and building the church just like wildfire somewhere. I would be tickled pink to see such an individual, and I hope I do see such an individual, because it is not so hard. It is not so hard once you have gone past the comfort zone, I guess you could say. If you take that stretch past that comfort zone, you're out. You're done. I mean, you're in a good way. You have broken that fear. You have broken that wariness or uncertainty. And instead, you are now in a brave new world, a good new world, a world in which you can speak your mind and no longer fear any consequences. That in itself is powerful. That in itself must be promoted. Our foes got to where they are because they have been good at propaganda. We have to be good at propaganda. We have to arouse the feelings of our white people. Propaganda is not aimed at the head so much, but at the heart. We have to persuade our people through pulling their heartstrings, just as the foes of white racial liberation have pulled the heartstrings of white people in a negative way. For example, there are many white people who will practically tear in their eyes when they see these nigger savages starving on television. Why do they have that sentiment? Because they have been taught, because they have been subverted in their thinking. And of course, what we have to do instead, one day we'll have videos showing white people being beaten by non-whites, being raped by non-whites, being what have you by non-whites, not because, of course, it's a pleasant sight, but because that imagery will make people realize in their hearts that something has to change. We have to change the situation. We can't allow this to happen any longer. We can't allow our white women to be raped by these nigger savages, these brown savages, these black savages. We can't allow this. We can't allow white families to go hungry because America's government prefers to bankroll the Jews in Israel. We can't allow our border to be open to the Mexican non-white invasion. You know, I've never been to the Alamo. I hope to go one day to visit that shrine of the white race. But I wonder if maybe if this continues, if this situation continues, I'm going to eventually go down there. I'm going to find a Mexican flag hanging from the place. That's how sick the situation is. The Alamo, of course, was a war. It was the beginning of a war between the white man and the greaser. And it's an unfinished war. These Mexican savages should have been thrown out completely, and we shouldn't have stopped. We should have kept going, and we did keep going, but we should have, you know, drove out the mongrel Mexicans out of Mexico, even, and make that a 51st state eventually. That would have been nice. But instead, we have allowed those we beat to become our conquerors. Just like the British Empire, the great British Empire, that conquered so much and so many soldiers died for that empire, and yet they give it away at the jot of a pen, the stroke of a pen. That's the word I'm looking for. What an insanity. And now England, formerly Great Britain, is being invaded and colonized by non-white savages. We have to stop the insanity. We have to stop this situation, and I'm calling upon you, my white brother and sister, to do your part today. No more waiting around. No more hoping that things will improve. They will not improve unless you improve them. Do not expect your neighbor to do what you yourself should do. And as we begin to close this episode of In Clawson We Trust, the White Power Hour with Reverend Matt Hale, I hope that I have inspired you. I hope that I have galvanized you. That is my duty. That is my calling in this world. My calling is not to simply work a 9-to-5 job. My job is to win you. My job is to save you. This has been the job that I have known was mine in my heart since I was 12 years old, as a matter of fact. Very strange calling for a 12-year-old, but that was my life. And I hope that you will join with me today and do your damnedest to ensure the survival of your people. Resist this Jewish occupational government. Resist this government that is interested and determined to destroy your birthright. Do your part today. Write us our address, P.O. Box 2002, East Peoria, Illinois, 61611. Join our church today. Or support us otherwise, and together we will win this racial holy war. Rahoa!